Father, I just thank you for your praise and worship tonight. I thank you for the words that were in the songs. I thank you, Father God, that the people received them into their spirit and they understand just how good you really are to us. And Father, I'm just asking that you touch your people in a mighty way tonight. Relieve them, Father God, of their heavy burdens. Let them leave here tonight lightened, their load lightened, Father God, and that they will understand that you are the Almighty and that you want to bear our burdens. And Father, we just thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to teach on the power of your words, the power of words. I've noticed that I've been very sloppy with my words lately. Been saying things I shouldn't say, you know, speaking negativity over myself. And I don't think I'm the only one that does that. Maybe you aren't as aware of it as I am, but I've just noticed just recently I've, like, oh, my knee hurts, you know, or, you know, just different little things, you know, you say without even thinking, and I would never say that before. And so the enemy has just slyly come in and try to make steal our faith words and have us speak negative words over our own self, over our children, over our businesses, or whatever. And so let's just read about the power of our words, and let's just see if we can't sort of be more mindful what we're saying and even what we're thinking, because our thoughts bind us up or set us free too. All right, what is spiritual maturity? There are many marks of or characteristics of being spiritually mature. However, one of the most notable marks or greatest marks, biblically speaking, is a tamed tongue. The Bible indicates that when a person can control their tongue or control their words, they are experiencing a major element of spiritual maturity. We're going to read that again because that is the truth. What is spiritual maturity? There are many marks or characteristics of being spiritually mature. However, one of the most notable marks or greatest marks, biblically speaking, is a tamed tongue. The Bible indicates that when a person can control their tongue or control their words, they are experiencing a major element of spiritual maturity. And God's been telling us he wants us to mature, right? The Bible declares in James 1:26 that if you think you are a religious person and you are not able to control your tongue or your words, your religion is worthless, vain, or dead. How about that? Let's read that again in James 1:26, that if you think you are a religious person and you are not able to control your tongue or your words, your religion is worthless, vain, or dead. The picture here is you are putting a bridle into your own mouth, not into the mouth of another. In other words, you're not trying to bridle what somebody else is saying, you're bridling what you are saying. You're controlling your words, not somebody else's. The effect of our words can lead a good outcome. Can lead to a good outcome or a disastrous one. We can learn to overcome negativity and change our self-talk so that we receive a fruitful harvest. Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. You may remember things that people said to you in the third grade that still bothers you today, that still intimidates you. And you all know that when you're doing deliverances, that is the truth, isn't it? On the other hand, you probably also remember compliments that people made that have stuck with you all these years. Words like, you did a great job, you have artistic talent, you can do it. These positive statements probably motivated you to continue to pursue other goals in your life. All right? Scripture says a lot about words and how we use them, either for good or for negative consequences. Proverbs 6:2 says, thou art snared with the words of thy mouth. Thou art taken with the words of thy mouth. Not somebody else's, but your own. Proverbs 12:13 says, an evil man is trapped by his sinful talk, but a righteous man escapes trouble. Proverbs 12:18 says, the tongue of the wise brings healing. What people say can make the difference between success and failure, between good and bad consequences. Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. What does that mean? In researching this scripture, I found that it means those who enjoy talking must bear the fruit of that talk, whether good or bad. That's why I think the less you say, the better off you're going to be. You're not apt to curse yourself, right? Productive words can bear a good, fruitful harvest. Fruit or harvest in Scripture usually has a good connotation. For example, in Proverbs 18:20 says, "From the fruit of his mouth a man's stomach is filled, with the harvest from his lips he is satisfied." I believe that today many Christians are living defeated lives because of their words. Have you become snared by what comes out of your mouth? Do you talk negatively about your health, your job, your finances, or your family, and it just drags you down that much more? Sometimes I do. I think we all do sometime or other, and the devil delights to get us on a downward spiral. You know, you have to stop and think, where was all this faith I had when I first received Christ as my Lord and Savior? I had enough faith to move anything, not only a mountain, but anything. But all of a sudden, over the years, the enemy has crept in and caused us to forget that we can do all things in Christ Jesus, that we are healed by the stripes of Jesus. You see what I'm saying? He puts enough stuff on us that we start looking at, and God always says, don't look at your circumstances, but look into his eyes, the eyes of Jesus, and then you'll have success. He's been telling us that forever. Now, you can retrain our mouth to speak better words. You have the choice of what words you live by. Romans 10:8 says, the word is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith we are proclaiming. We have been given authority to speak God's words in his name. God's words, how did God use words to bring about good? In Genesis 1:3, he said, let there be light, and there was light. Genesis 1:11-12, let the land produce vegetation, and it was so. And God said in Genesis 1:24, let the land produce living creatures, and it was so. Whatever God spoke happened. You know, I was studying all these scriptures and everything, I remembered the one gentleman that I prayed back to life 3 times. One time he said to God, why can't I stay here? Why do you keep sending me back? And he said, God opened up the windows of heaven and let him look down. And I was sitting by his hospital bed praying. He says, as long as she's praying, I've got to send you back. See, he was wanting to stay there, but I was praying. So God says, as long as she's praying, you have to go back. And then finally, whenever God sent him back the 3rd time, then God came to me and said, he's never going to serve me. Please let him go. It's your choice. You can either leave him here or you can let me have him. But if you leave him here, then he's, I'll have to honor your prayer. He says he won't come to heaven and be with me, but right now he can stay with me. So I told him, go ahead, take him. He said, I'll take him home at 5 o'clock in the morning. 5 o'clock that morning he died. I got word he died. But isn't it powerful, you know, the power of your words, your power of your prayers? You know, that poor man wanted to stay in heaven, and I kept praying him back. Remember the other guy that I prayed back? And he said, I was in Pennsylvania because my mother-in-law passed away, and I went to the mountains to pray for him. And then when I came back, they said, you need to call this number back there in Delaware. So I did, and they said, Dad said, don't pray no more. You have prayed him back, and he's been in heaven. He doesn't, and his dad had come back. He does not want to stay. He wants to stay in heaven. Quit praying. He said, please quit praying. So I quit praying, and he died and went on to heaven. But see how the power you have? You know, I hope you get a hold of something here tonight and understand that your words, if you're faithful and you love the Lord and you trust him and you walk with him, when you pray, your words have power in heaven. Your prayers are powerful. All right? We have been given authority to speak God's word. I said that, didn't I? How did Jesus use words productively in the New Testament, especially in the healing miracles? Jesus spoke words with authority. See, you have to have authority when you pray or when you speak. The devil's not going to walk away if you say, you better leave me alone, devil. You know, you better be standing there as bold as a lion and say, devil, get your hands off them right now in the name of Jesus, or I'm going to beat you up, right? And you can do that. To the man with leprosy, Jesus said in Mark 1:42, be clean, and he was cleansed of leprosy. To the man with an evil spirit in Mark 1:25, be quiet, come out of him, and the spirit came out of him. To the deaf man, he said in Mark 7:33-35, be opened. And the man's ears were open and his tongue loosed. Now, we're getting ready to walk in these miracles, but if you don't understand your power and your authority, you are not going to see anything accomplished. To the storm, Jesus said in Mark 4:39, "Be quiet, be still." And the wind died down and it was completely calm. Remember, I spoke to the storm in my house, in my yard one day. I was trying to fold that tarp. And I said, "Storm, wind, you don't blow in this area at all. I'm going to fold up this tarp." And right where I was standing, all the wind ceased. And I folded up, took my time. I was really proud of my little prayer. And that the wind had ceased, you know, and I was a little bit cocky. And I said, "The devil, see, you had to stop." And I folded up that tarp really slow. And when I was all done, I said, "You can blow again now." And the wind started blowing. I mean, you know, your words have power and authority. But you have to believe that. And you have to know that. And the enemy will cease. I was coming to church and little Isaiah was having a fit in the back seat. So I said, "In the name of Jesus, devil, you're not going to do that to this work to this young man." And he grinned and he says, "I'm not quitting." I said, "Oh, yes, you are." And he stopped, came out. He knew he had to leave. He knew he couldn't stay back there. And somebody had done something wrong to him before he left the house and got him all upset. And so when he gets upset, then he acts out. That spirit really has authority then to act out. But he calmed right on down and sat back there as quiet as he could be. So we need to start taking authority over these things. We need to start doing it. You know, many times in my home, God said, "Now, you had that fit. Why don't you just pray and cast that devil out?" You know, and the devil gets you all in a tizzy. And then you don't even think about praying. All you think about is, you need to stop. Well, they're not going to stop because that devil isn't stopping in them until you tell it to. Are you listening here? Come on. Jesus taught his disciples about the power of words one day while walking along the road when he cursed the fig tree. When they went back that same day, the next morning, the tree had withered from the roots. And he told them in Mark 11:22, "Have faith in God. If anyone says to this mountain, 'Go throw yourself into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart," so you can't doubt, "but believes that what he says will happen, it will be done for him. Therefore, I tell you, whatsoever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours." Everybody said, "Well, I've been praying, nothing's happened." You've been doubting. I know, because I hear what some of you say. I hear what I say myself. That doubt, you pray, and then next thing you know, you're talking a little bit of negativity. That's your doubt. You're not, the devil doesn't have to do nothing. That tree doesn't have to wither up at all. Come on, because you don't believe what you just prayed. Are you listening here? We're going to change the way we pray, right? After tonight, we're going to watch every word we speak after tonight, right? And we're going to do like Jesus said, don't speak unless you have authority and you really mean what you say. My grandson said to me, he said, "Mom, you talk an awful lot lately. And you just didn't used to ever say anything." And I said, "I know, and I'm changing that." You know, because the devil said, "Oh, there she is on a rampage, just talking her head off. I don't have to worry about nothing. He keeps right on doing his thing." Are you understand that? But it used to be when I didn't say very much at all, when I spoke, he listened. He came to attention and he knew he had to obey the devil. How about y'all? Come on. Some of you are quiet just because you just are. It's not because you're so spiritual either. So don't get on that kick either. Be a man of a little few words, right? This scripture shows that you don't just glibly say things, but it has to be backed up by faith. Sometimes people say, "I'm going to be a millionaire." Ha ha ha. You know. That's just a bunch of junk they're saying. Or, "I'm going to be president of the United States," or any other such statement. You hear that all the time. They don't mean nothing. They're just talking. Little Gabriel says all the time, "Mom, can I do this?" Or I said, "You can do anything you want to do, honey, in Christ. You can be anything you want to be in Christ." "Am I stupid?" I said, "No," and he isn't stupid. He's a bright child. I said, "Just act stupid at times, but that is not you. You are a bright child." See, I have to keep reinforcing it because he is. But there's that devil tells him, "You're stupid. You don't know what you're doing." You know, he does that to grown-ups. And we believe him. Right? All right, those statements that I just read lack faith, hard work, discipline, and preparation. When you say stuff like that, you lack faith, hard work, discipline, and preparation. But saying things is action-orientated. saying things is action-orientated. All right, illustration. You tell your mom, I'm going to college and I'm going to be a teacher. That was followed up by taking the steps to enroll in college, to sign up for classes, to study and make it happen. We have to be consistent in what we say over a period of time. We can't talk one way one day and talk the opposite the next day. Mom, I'm going to go to college. The next day, we don't really have the money for me to go to college. You're not going to go to college because you just spoke that negative thing over that. Right? Story. During the Civil War, listen to this story. During the Civil War, a soldier was sympathetic to both sides. He lived in a borderline state, and one day he would side with one and the other day the next. He decided on a compromise where he would wear a Confederate gray coat and the Union blue trousers. Things went well for a while until the battle began fast and furious. The Federals shot him in the coat, and the Confederates shot him in the seat of his pants. You know, he see that? We have to be dressed in a matched uniform. Our words of faith and our self-talk have to match up if we expect to receive from God. I'm going to have the best of glow in Dover. Oh, they're fussing at me. They're picking on me. They're saying all men are evil about me. What happened to the best of glow in Dover? That, when you said that, the devil heard it. He said, oh, you think so, huh? Well, I'm just going to show you what I can do to you. I'm going to get you discouraged and defeated, and you'll quit. That's the way it works. You know, that's the way it works. Matthew 12:37 says, for by the words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. We need to work on retraining our self-talk to speak words that will bring good fruit and a good harvest. I just don't have any money in the bank. My pockets are empty. They don't jingle anymore. That isn't what you should say. I remember one time I went to Gary Whetstone's church, and he said, you know, they were having financial problems. He says, oh, I just got my wallet out. And Kenneth Hagin told me to get my wallet out and stomp on it and get the devil out of my wallet. And he said, and speak positive words into my wallet. And he said, you know what? The devil let go, and we're prosperous. But as long as he was believing his wallet, he wasn't getting anywhere. But whenever he took action on the devil by stomping on his wallet and telling the devil he had to get out of there, then he started prospering. And I've always remembered that. And I get my wallet out every now and then, checkbook or whatever, and I stomp the devil out of it. Amen. You can't have my finances, devil, your bank statement, wherever you're working with. You're a child of God, right? And God's word says he's going to supply all your needs according to his riches and glory, right? It says he owns a cattle on a thousand hill. If you're walking with God with all your heart, then he's going to take care of you. Change for us. How can our words change things for us? And Romans 12:2 says, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Things can change for us. Even if we feel that our religion doesn't work for us in the 21st century, that our prayers don't get any higher than the ceiling, we can do something about that. Here's another story. An army sergeant who was caught on the beach by German artillery managed to save himself by jumping into the water. While improving his position with a trench shovel, he came upon an ornate crucifix, the kind that prosperous Italians often hung on their bedroom walls. 2 hours later, a United States Army chaplain rolled into the water beside him. The master sergeant held up the muddy crucifix that he had been clutching for dear life since discovering it and turned to the startled chaplain and said, man, am I glad to see you. How do you make this thing work? He didn't have no faith in it. He just thought it was going to do something for him. Christianity is not a magic formula where we punch this button or that button and make things happen. It is not saying superficial words that have no substance. It won't hold up under the test of waiting for the answer. But Scripture gives us principles to follow that will help us to develop our faith, and our prayers will be answered. We will begin to see God's blessing come into our life because we are planting and planning for a good harvest and good fruit. We need a new building, Father, because these walls are caving in. Well, why do I keep speaking that negative thing? Why don't I just keep saying, which I do. Thank you, God, for the new building. And I'm looking, where is it at? Every place I go, is this it? Is this it? Is this it? You know, well, he gave us free furniture. Now we need a building to put the free furniture in, right? So I said, okay, God, usually get the, well, he said we would have the free, everything would be free. All right, now we usually give the building first and then furnish it. But this, you started furniture before you gave us the building. So the building has to be there somewhere, right? So we're not looking at, if you go into the women's bathroom, don't be shocked. You have cracks everywhere. But, you know, we aren't looking at that. We're looking at the fact that God said that there's another building for us. He said this one has to fill up, though, first. Then he's going to take us out of here. So look around you. It's not filled up, is it? So we're not going anywhere right now. That's not a negative word. I believe God. He said, when this fills up, when I fill this up, then I'll move you. All right, so I'm standing on his word. All right, I said, Christianity is not a magic formula where we punch this button or that button and make things happen. See, I can't push a button and make God give me a new building. I can't. When in his timing, he'll give me a new building. I can't push a button and make you enjoy praise and worship. I can't do that. I like more slap you a few times. But, you know, you're the one that has to determine I'm going to enjoy praise and worship, no matter what we sing. Right? No magic formula. It's not saying superficial words that have no substance. It won't hold up under the test of waiting for the answer. But Scripture gives us principles to follow that will help us to develop our faith, and our prayers will be answered. We will begin to see God's blessing come into our life because we are planting and planning for a good harvest and good fruit. Now, we read that twice, so I hope it's in your spirit. Change is made with words. How did Abraham use words to bring things into existence? Romans 4:17 says that he called things that are not as though they were. You know, I tore the ligament or whatever it is in my knee. And so I'm saying, knee, you're going to work. So I'm going to have to plant some bulbs yesterday. And I said, knee, you're going to bend. Well, I bent and my knee said, you think so, huh? I had a hard time getting back up again, and they'll be out there to help me. And I said, you're healed in the name of Jesus. And I said to my son, grandson, Jimmy, I said, the devil said, no, you think so, do you? I said, no, I know so. See, the devil's going to keep coming around making that thing hurt and say, oh, you're really going to trust and have faith that this thing's going to work. It is going to work. The spot of cancer, it's going down. Every day I touch it, I said, thank you, Jesus. And it's going down, and now it's going to disappear. Amen. Come on. We have to have faith and believe. My mother had a thing that hung down from her eyelid. And it was a terrible looking thing. And so I was home one day. I said, Mom, let me pray for that. So I put my hand on it and I prayed for it. I cursed and told it to dry up and fall off. And 6 months later, because she went around teaching people. She worked with Irish Shirt Factory. And she taught people how to sew. And all about their sewing machines in factories. And so she was sitting, they had a dinner for her, and she was sitting there eating, and that thing fell off right into her plate. But 6 months later, but she said, I know it's going to fall off, Barbie. I'm not worried about it. And so she was sitting there eating, and it fell right off. So you see, some of us, we keep looking every day, are you going to do anything? God, are you healing this thing? You know, and we can't do that. That's doubt and unbelief. If you prayed for it, then you're believing it's going to happen, and you just let God do it when his timing. Amen? Come on. So Romans, we said Romans 4:17 says that he called things that are not as though they were. What does it mean to speak things into existence? How do you do it when you pray? How do you get your requests put into words? Too many times people pray in the wrong way, begging God to do this or that. Come on. Too many times people pray a weak prayer by saying, if it be thy will. Now, I have begged God to do something. God said, daughter, I'm not doing it. You've done all you're supposed to do, and they haven't changed. And I'm not going to do what you asked me to do because they don't want me. So don't bring them before me anymore. But I was begging, please, God, please. He said, stop that. All right? So, too many times people pray in the wrong way, begging God to do this or that. And too many times people pray a weak prayer by saying, if it be thy will. Now, I have learned since these three people are prayed back to life and they wanted to stay dead, I say, God, you know, I know you can bring them back if it be thy will. You know, because each one of them, God said, you know, just let them go. You know, I said, Brother Larry, God said, daughter, let him go. Just please let him go. And I was keeping him alive, but God said, let him go. He wants to be with me. See, so I think there is times when we can say, God, if it be thy will. But let's not use it all the time and be dumb. We know what his word says. And God has been saying that we're going to, in this dispensation, we're going to be raising the dead. And we're going to see all kind of miracles like it's in the Bible. In fact, we're even doing greater miracles than what's in the Bible. You know, God will through us. But you have to have discernment. And you have to know what to pray, when to pray. And really, truly, if you don't know how to pray, if you ask God, he'll tell you. He will tell you how to pray for a given situation. He does it with me all the time. And he'll tell you why he wants you to pray the way he's asking you to pray. When scripture already says it is God's will. No, so I said, too many times people pray a weak prayer by saying, if it be thy will. And when scripture already says it is God's will, these weak prayers are ineffective. And I'm talking about weak prayers like that. Sometimes I've noticed something about people. They'll pray about a situation and they'll say, if it's thy will, Father. And really, truly, they want a bad thing to happen. And they're trying to cover that up. And like, they really don't want a person healed. They want them to die. And so they pray this, oh, God, heal them. If it be thy will, you know, I've heard that. And, you know, and that doesn't please God. And you might as well not even said one word because it didn't go anywhere. All right. Please, let's just start. God said, quit praying your negative prayers. Let's pray real prayers. And, you know, Sister Elaine told us to believe for somebody else's miracle. And see, this is where we become selfish and self-centered. We really don't want that person to live because they might have hurt us or something like that, you know, or done something dumb. And see, you're supposed to forgive and forget. And you're supposed to pray for that person's salvation. I've had to pray for a few person's salvation, to tell you the truth. I really didn't want to. But, you know, they deserve to go to heaven too, right? And so I prayed for their salvation. And I really meant it whenever it. The first time I said, you got to be kidding. That Merle Crothers book, Prison to Praise, I said, this is a bunch of junk. It isn't. And I said that because I did not want to pray for some. I didn't want somebody to be blessed. And so then God had to get a hold of me and shake me really good and get my attention. And so I started praying for people. And, you know, that was fun. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed watching them turn around, you know, and receive Jesus as their Savior. I enjoyed it. If they died, you know, I enjoyed seeing them go to heaven. It was so much better than seeing them knowing they're being tormented in hell. You'd be surprised what God will do to you, too, when you start doing that. We must redefine out where I'm at. We must redefine our request and reframe our words. The power of speech puts a handle on things. We know that God has the answer to our needs, but we don't know how to bring it from the spiritual realm into the material realm. Put a handle on your prayer. Speaking it out in faith starts to bring it out of the realm of the spiritual into the realm of the here and now. How many times I prayed and I said, God, all right, so you tell me it's up there to pull it down. I've been pulling it down. What am I doing wrong? Why isn't it coming down? He said, doubt and unbelief. So if I'm pulling it down and I'm questioning God, why isn't it coming down? That's doubt and unbelief. So if I'm going to pull it down, then I just leave it alone after I pull it down. I say, okay, got to bring from the spiritual to the natural. Then I leave it alone, because if I do anything else and I'm in doubt and unbelief, then God's going to do it in his time frame, not mine. But I prayed the prayer, and God had something to work on, and God can bring it from the spiritual to the natural. Do you understand this? People say, oh, I just don't have any faith. That's not scripture. We have been given the faith we need in Romans 12, 3 through 8. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. So when you're born again, everybody gets a measure of faith. It's up to us to make the faith grow. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches, in teaching. He who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. In other words, whatever gift God has given you, use that gift by faith. If you're really a true prophet of God, you prophesy by faith. I was listening to, and I can't think of it, Bill Johnson, I think it was. He's a mighty man of God anyhow. And he was saying, preachers were after saying, oh, you can just do anything you want to and anytime you want to do it. And he said, that's not true. And I know that to be a fact, and I've never said anything about it because didn't want to discourage people. But you're not going to get everybody healed. I really don't want to burst your bubble, but everybody's not going to get healed. I mean, you can have all the faith in the world and not walk in any doubt and unbelief, but God has everybody's life planned out. And please, I don't want to make you think, well, no, don't even pray. No, go ahead and pray. You know, and God will let you know, and God will tell me I'm not going to heal them. And then he tells me why, so that I don't get discouraged if it doesn't happen. You see, you have to be walking close to God and listening to his voice so you know exactly what he's going to do. All right? All right, God meets our needs with our words of faith. You don't need a boatload of faith to get the job done. Luke 17:6 says, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it will obey you. But what do you have to have? Faith. Some people say, well, Jesus cursed the tree. I curse you in the name of Jesus. You know, you don't have no more faith in the moon to do that. You're just saying it because you read it. Are you understanding this? All right, so you read something in the Word, and it is the truth, but then whenever you apply it, you have to have faith behind your words, or it's not going to work. It just really makes me sick to watch some people in the body of Christ just think they can get up there willy-nilly and do what they want to do. I know when God's not going to use me to prophesy. Like Sister Nancy wanted a word this morning, and what was the word he gave you? Huh? Restoration. That's all I heard. He said, just tell her the words restoration. And I said, alrighty. So that was the word she got. You seeing this? And then I don't know, she probably researched it. I didn't ask her. It's none of my business. But you know, then while I'm doing this, you know, God's giving me a word for somebody else. But in the meantime, he told me, I want you to have Brett give the word. But then he'll interject and use me here and there. I don't have to be the one to give the word all the time. Why do you have to be the one to give the word all the time? What's wrong with you? What are you trying to prove to yourself? See, that's the problem. You have a gift in there, and you have to use it by faith, but why do you want to use it all the time? What is it about you? You want to show everybody, look, I can do this, or I can lay hands on the sick. I can do, you know, you don't do nothing, ding-a-ling. God does it. It's the Holy Spirit through you that does it. And he works on the faith that you have to do it. But they're just like Sister Lane was blowing away pride. There's too much pride in the body of Christ, and you think you're doing it, and you don't give God any glory whatsoever. After every service, I go home and I pray, and I say, thank you, God, for showing up at the service. And I thank him for whatever happened. I just give him honor and glory. Because we know without him, nothing's going to happen. You know, and I tell everybody that ministers behind the pulpit, when you're through ministering, you have to minister to the people. Well, I've never done it before. I know that's you, part of it. You have to admit it. And why do I say it? Because I have faith, and I know that if God puts somebody behind here, he's going to anoint them to minister to the people too. That's the way it works. And they might think they can't do it, but they can. If you're praying for them and you're releasing your faith into them and you're telling God, anoint them and let them. And I often say, God, please just let your anointing be so strong that it will really affect the person that's doing the praying too. And I watch people, they sort of stagger back, you know. I want you people to understand the anointing is in you. And if God calls you, he equips you, he wants to use you. And if I tell you that God's going to do it, I don't tell you that unless God's going to do it. God is going to do it. So all you have to do is just trust me. And say, all right, God, if it doesn't work, you smack her. Not me. Amen. Come on. It's the way you need to do. But it will work if you go out and just step out there by faith. God told me one time, daughter, whatever you place your hand to do, I'll do it. You just, like when I speak, Brett, you go prophesy. I did something. God's going to accomplish it. Are you understanding this? But see, God told me that early on. He said, whatever you place your hand to do, I will take over and I will do it for you. Say, He already told me he would do that, so I have all the confidence in the world when he says, have Brett do it, that Brett can do it. Sometimes I've asked some of you to prophesy, and you think, really now? I don't even feel like getting up, let alone standing around prophesying to all these people. I don't see how God can work through me. Don't some of you think that sometimes because you've just had a bad day? But that's probably why God wants to use you, so that you don't stay in that bad day, you know, so that you can move on in faith, knowing that God is with you no matter what you went through. How do you speak to your mountain in faith? How do you call those things that are not as though they were? Identify your mountain. What is it? A health problem, financial need, relationships to be restored? What is your mountain that has to be removed? You have to know that before you start praying. Illustration, a woman had serious back pain and could hardly walk. She was begging God to heal her. She was not even sure if he wanted to heal her. She prayed, if it be thy will, and nothing happened. She just got worse. Then she learned to speak to the problem and take authority over it in the name of Jesus. She knew the scripture that by his stripes we were healed. She rephrased her prayer by saying, back pain, go in the name of Jesus. I take authority over you and command you to go. All right, do the believing right then whenever you're praying. When you pray that you have received it, that indicates that you are speaking in faith whether or not the symptoms leave immediately or not. All right, my grandson, Jimmy, he was born with a messed up ankle. And they took him up there to that place everybody goes. Yeah. And they put a brace, they gave him brace shoes, you know, with a metal in between, and said he'd always wear a brace all of his life. He would never walk without a brace. He wouldn't be able to do this, wouldn't be able to do that, wouldn't be able to play sports, wouldn't be able to do anything. And my daughter brought him home and said, this is what the doctor said. I threw the shoes in the trash. I said, in the name of Jesus, he will be able to play sports. He will do this. He will do whatever they said they couldn't do, he did. And I soaked that cast off. She said, Mama, you should not do that. What am I going to tell the doctor? I said, just tell him your mom's crazy. And she soaked it off. The boy has never wore a brace on his ankle, on his leg at all. And when he was in high school, he played sports. In fact, he ran whatever that running thing is. He did that. If your mountain is a financial problem, say, let there be money to pay my bills. Money come in the name of Jesus to pay these bills. If the checkbook is always in the red, begin to say, I command all the red ink to leave and black to take its place in the name of Jesus. Every month, I pray money in to pay the bills because I say, God, you said that this isn't where you wanted me, but I came here to please the people, and you would keep me while I was here. I'd never have an overflow, but I would have enough. You'd always pay the bills. So here's your bills, Lord. Get paying. He never sends us an overflow, but we always have enough to keep the bills paid every month. That's what God said he was going to do, and I hold him to that. Here's your bills. Get your checkbook out. Amen. See what I'm saying? But see, I know what God has told me, and that's where my faith stems from what God has spoken to me. Now, if he doesn't speak anything to you, I'd be getting on my knees or sitting in a chair. I can't get on my knees, so sit in a chair. Do whatever you have to do and seek God's face till he tells you exactly what he wants to do in your situation. And then stand in faith on that, not what somebody tells you. Stand in faith in what God says to you. All right, for healing, say, let wellness and healing come in the name of Jesus. Begin to speak things out in faith. I have been redeemed from the curse of the law. Declare that healing is mine in the name of Jesus. The power of God is working in me, and I'm getting better every day. Pain be gone in the name of Jesus. That's how you should be talking. Direct your faith with your words. Begin to thank the Lord for the answer in advance. Use your words to speak. You, when you have two kids who are overactive, I said, thank you, God, that these kids are quiet and settled down and they're not up to midnight running through the house, shooting guns and yelling and screaming and jumping on things. That at 8 o'clock they're in bed sleeping. I thank you, God, that that's already happened. So one night I'm going to see them all zonked out at 8 o'clock. Amen. Come on. I mean, I have faith and I believe that. I believe God's doing, because he said he was going to straighten their, whatever that is, out. Okay. We have been, begin to thank the Lord for the answer in advance. Use your words to speak life instead of death. It might seem awkward at first because we are not used to saying and speaking positive things. You know, Jimmy, my grandson, he used to always think positive. He doesn't anymore. He says, Mom, I hear you over there praying. Why do you pray like that? It's not going to happen. I said, oh, yes, it is. Yes, it is. Right? Oh, yes, it is, honey. You know it is. And one day you're going to say, it happened, Mom. You know, he'll agree with me. We have been used to saying, I'm sick and tired. I'm broke. I'm poor. I'm a loser. Or such things as this, but no more. Lately, I've been getting up and saying, boy, I'm really old. I know, why am I saying that? I don't feel old, but I say, I'm really old. I should be just sitting down doing nothing. You know, I tell my kids, now I'm old now. And I've kept you all my life. Now you need to be doing things for me, and that doesn't work. But no, why am I even saying that? So that's why I want to do this word thing, because I've been doing things that is not normal for me to do these type of things. You know? I say to the kids, now you got to sort of be a little bit, you know, conservative in what you're doing, because I don't have the money I used to have. And I say, why do I say that? Yes, I do have the money. I still have the money. Just because I had a few changes in my life doesn't change my wallet, right? You know, death didn't control my wallet. Are you understanding this? And see, we go into that mode, don't we? We move or something like that. Oh, and I've never been a negative person, but I started becoming that in the last month, and now I've had to change the way I think. I had to change the way I do things. You know, you are what you're saying. I say I'm old. I look old. You know what I'm saying? I said, boy, I'm old and tired. I'm old and tired. You know, I'm speaking that into existence. Isn't that stupid? That is dumb. So today I said, God, you said you're going to restore my youth, so start restoring. I'm ready to have it restored. You know, I'm back into that positive thing. But I had to get into the scriptures and read about faith in order for to get my thought life turned around. It had gotten stupid on me. All right, I said, we have been used to saying I'm sick and tired, I'm broke, I'm poor, I'm a loser, or such things as this, but no more. I'm a child of God. I am planting better seed for a good harvest and good fruit. I am a believer and not a doubter. God specializes. I'm a millionaire, a billionaire, whatever. Amen? Come on. I just don't have... I have more than enough, just not enough. I have more than enough. I have an overflow. And God, if you expect me to keep all these people, then I need an overflow. And so I have an overflow. Are you understanding this? God specializes in things thought impossible. He will do for you what no other one can do for you. Start reframing your words. Get this stupid brain under control. Tell it. It's not going to tell you what to do. You're going to tell it what to do. What are they saying that the devil's going to attack the body of Christ with now? Is it your imagination? I think it's your imagination. Huh? Yeah, it's your imagination. So right now the devil's working on your imagination. He wants you to think these vain things, and he wants you to go off on a tangent and believe that God is not able to do restore and you know, and do whatever you need done. He wants you to believe that. Who are you going to believe? You're going to believe God, or you're going to believe the liar? I love that song, Fear is a Liar. Love that song. We'll sing that Wednesday night. That's how much I love it. Amen. Come on. And see, that's why we get into doubt, because fear steps in. How am I going to make it? What am I going to do if I die? I have two little kids here that need me. You know, stuff like that. That's fear. And so we have to get out of that mode, and we have to get into the mode of, I'm going to live till I'm 200. The rapture is going to occur before then. But you know what I'm saying? We have to get into that mode. And we can't walk in doubt and unbelief. We have to trust and believe God. Father, I just thank you for your word. I thank you, Father God, that you wanted us to think about this and to change our mindsets in the way we think and then the way we speak. And Father God, as we are determined in our heart tonight to reframe our words and our thoughts, be with us, God. And Father God, God said he wants to give you a supernatural overflow in your mind, where your mind will no longer think on negative things, but it'll constantly think on positive things. And then you're going to start seeing positive results in your life. And he's also saying, quit looking at your circumstances around about you, because they are not as they seem. It's what the enemy wants you to think they are. And he's saying, I can work on higher thoughts, but I can't work on low thoughts. In other words, you have to start thinking bigger bigger, higher, better. And quit looking at the thing that you're living right now. Amen. God's saying your issues at hand are not the issues that are going to be if you can believe for better things. And so if you want to believe for better things, why don't you come to the altar tonight? And what God wants to do is he wants to take lye soap is what he's saying. And he wants to wash your mind. And he wants to wash away all those things that have been keeping you in bondage so that you are free to receive what he truly has for you. And he said it's an abundance. It's more than an overflow. It's an excess of overflow.